pretended to have freedom. I thought I'd really lived. And then the earth began to tremble, and my world came crashing in. And I found that I had nothing, just the scars of all my sin. Now all I want is peace. Highest sacrifice. I can't live in all this turmoil. My heart can't bear the pain. I need peace at any price so I can live again. Now Jesus is my peace. He's paid the greatest price. He gave anything, paid everything, made the highest sacrifice. He can take away your turmoil. He can help you bear the pain. He gives peace. He made this prize so that you can live again.
Amen. Thank you, ladies, and it has been a joy to have our friend Dr. Mike Ray with us as one of our special speakers for the youth conference. Brother Ray served many years as an agitating young person in our youth department, and then God got back at him and put him in the youth ministry for many years, and then God really pulled one over and called him to pastor. So he gets to have to put up with the doings of a weird youth pastor, plus all the young people. This August, 20 years ago, God called Brother Mike Ray from the youth pastorate down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, all the way out to California, to Napa Valley, to Hopewell Baptist Church. When he went the first Sunday, he was there. They had 31 drive-ins and 80 on a bus, uninsured bus. Isn't it amazing what people will do without leadership? 80 people on a 48-passenger uninsured bus.
Sound familiar?
But nevertheless, God called him there. And when God calls, he gives you a vision and a burden for that city and for that people. I remember Mike calling me and telling me about Dr. Wally Beebe. Mr. Buss came through there, and he is so excited about having him in the area, and he brought him over and took him through the facilities, and the facilities were not much. And it was in need of great repair. And he said, "Dr. Beebe, what do you think? What do you think here? What do you think I should do? Give me some advice." Dr. Beebe said, "Burn it down. Go somewhere else." But he didn't. He listened to God. He stayed. And my, what a beautiful facility, a great church there in the heart of wine country. He's had a little trouble there, but he's working on that. You pray for him. He wants to have the Lord's Supper every Sunday and every service. But Mike Ray's been a blessing to us down through the years, blessing to our youth camp ministries and our teen conferences, and he has been a special blessing this week. Brother Mike, we love you like a father loves a son. And we're mighty proud of you. Come and preach to us tonight.
Thanks, Brother Smith. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And we'll begin looking down into Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs 18. It's been a joy to be here at Trinity Baptist Church. You've got a great thing going here. And of course, it starts with your great pastor, great pastor's wife, great staff. And of course, for your church to host this great teen conference every year, that's a blessing. Not every church gets to host it. And thank the Lord for your vision, for your Bible college. I'm excited about it. I think my wife's moving here to attend Bible college. And so we're in Proverbs here. No, I'm just kidding. She better not. She better stick with me. But Proverbs chapter 18. Seems like yesterday I was at teen camp, and I came to Brother Smith on a Monday night. And I said, "Brother Smith, how do you know if you're called to preach?" And he said, "Son, God gives you a desire. Here, read 1 Timothy 3. I remember the next night walking the aisle at teen camp and saying, "I know God's called me to preach." And that's been 33 years ago. It's just hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. I appreciate your pastor. He never grew older. He still has the dew of youth. When he went from childhood to adolescence, he took the childhood with him. When he went from adolescence to adulthood, he took the childhood adolescence with him. He's that childish, juvenile adult. And he has still got that kid in him. He's got it. And I think that's what makes your church and this conference so exciting. And I appreciate it so much. Proverbs chapter number 18. We'll look down at one verse, please. In verse number 14. Let's stand in honor of God's word, if you would, please. The Bible says here, and I hope you'll look at your Bibles. If you don't have one, just kind of stand there and just listen, if you would. Proverbs 18 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" God is simply saying here there are three type of spirits mentioned in the Bible. There's the Holy Spirit, that would be a capital S. He indwells us when we get saved. Then there is our spirit that is dead. Some people would say in hibernation, however you want to word it, but it is dead according to Ephesians. It becomes alive when we get saved. But there's another word, spirit, that's used in the Bible, and that's talking about our attitude. Everyone's smiling. Did someone preach this morning or something? Okay. I was missing my Bible for about an hour. Brother Angel took it. And so you just never know. But this spirit is talking about attitude. He's saying our spirit, if we have a good attitude, it will sustain us through infirmities and tough times. But when our attitude is a little bit shaky and our spirit's not right, what we would normally handle, we cannot handle. So it's important and vital that we keep our spirit very healthy. Then flip a little bit deeper, if you will, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Very unusual verse here, Ecclesiastes 8. And looking down into verse number 8, please. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. The Bible says, "There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war." What is he saying? He's saying you will have to battle the rest of your life to keep your spirit right. Amen. It's a battle, just keeping your attitude right. With that in mind, let's flip a little bit deeper, please, into Daniel. Daniel chapter number 5, if you will. Daniel chapter number 5. And we'll look down in one verse, verse number 12. You say, "Why are we standing?" Because when Brother Angel gets up here, you'll be sitting so long. And we just want to give you a break here. So it's Daniel chapter number 5. And it says, looking down into verse number 12. It says, "For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel." Notice that word associated with spirit starts with an E. What is it? He had an excellent spirit. Then flip over one other chapter to Daniel chapter 6 and looking down in verse number 3. Who said that in chapter 5? The queen said he has an excellent spirit. So people said this Daniel has an excellent spirit. In Daniel 6, verse 3, it's God speaking. In verse 3, he says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Let's pray. Father, bless this time we have. Thank you for the tremendous planning and work. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's been here. Servitude, serving, laughter, great singing, great music. Thank you for speaking to my heart in so many services already. Thank you for the privilege of being here in America, being free, able to walk inside a beautiful building, having a copy of the Word of God. Help us take advantage of it, use it, and be good stewards with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Years ago, I had the privilege of taking a trip to Israel. Thank the Lord it was not with Cecil Ballard. But I got to go to Israel in David Gibbs, the original David Gibbs, the one who's the was the president of CLA for many years. We were on a bus. We were coming out of Spain. I was sitting on the Greyhound bus, and I said, "Brother Gibbs, you've been preaching a long time. You've been married about 30 years. You've got several kids." I said, "What's the greatest ingredient to marriage? What's the most important ingredient to a great church?" I said, "You've seen all these churches. You've been married a long time. What's the secret?" He said this, one word, spirit. He said the spirit is the most important thing in a home. It's the most important thing in a marriage. It's the most important thing in a church. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you know when it's not there. And by the way, that's why it's not the beautiful facility. I'm excited about your property you've gotten across the street, more parking and future expansions and your goal 2000 and 2007. But what'll bring people in more than a building and more than beautiful tracks and more than a great choir is the spirit. The building will bring them in the first time. An advertisement will bring them in the first time. But it'll be the spirit of the church that keeps them coming back. And I believe that's why there's people from all around America that's moving to this area and sending their young people to your college because of the spirit of your pastor. He has worked at keeping a good spirit all these years through thick and thin and ups and downs and heartaches and tears and valleys. It's the spirit. Jesus had a problem with his disciples one day. They walked into town and Jesus started to come in. They said, "Hold it, your skin complexion doesn't fit in this neighborhood." That's the Ray interpretation. I don't know which Bible that is. But they said, "Oh, you don't look like you fit here." And I like what James and John said. I like these guys. They said, "Lord, shall we call down fire from heaven right now and burn up this city like Elijah did?" If I asked Jesus, I'd have said, "Yeah, right now." Jesus says, "Hold it." He said, "Ye know not what spirit ye are." He said, "Not a good attitude. The Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save men's lives." He said, "You got a bad spirit, fellas." But I like that kind of spirit. It was Elisha. He looked at Elijah, the great man of God, who had did 8 miracles. And he said, "What would you like before I go to heaven?" He said, "I want a double portion, not of God's power, though we preach that. Not a double portion of the Holy Spirit, though we preach that." It's not what he said. He said, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." He says, "Elijah, I like the attitude you have." He said, "I want twice that in my life." It was Jesus. As he grew up, they said he grew mighty in spirit. His attitude grew strong and mighty. We're talking about a spirit of joy, a spirit of expectancy, spirit of excitement. You heard about the man, he left church after the morning preaching. And his son, he looked to his son, he said, "I didn't get much out of that sermon, did you?" He said, "Well, Dad, you only put in a nickel." It's the spirit. That's not good. I don't like that. We'll put that out of the message here. So here it is. Introduction. We'll try to make it biblical because Brother Angel's here. He said, "I have to use the Bible tonight." I mean, we're getting tough. But in the book of Daniel, here's the background here. God had warned and warned and warned the nation of Israel. Much of this Old Testament is warning. The prophets are saying, "Judgment's coming. Turn from your sin." There's pre and then post-Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, the Hitler of his day, the Saddam Hussein of his day, the Osama bin Laden of his day. The people didn't listen, so Nebuchadnezzar surrounds the city. Soon the people are starving to death. You can read accounts where they ate their own children. That's why it's good to be skinny during those times. They leave you alone. But they ate their children. There was cannibalism. They ate the animals. They starved to death. He said, I don't have to kill them. We'll just starve them out. No water, no food. Cut off the supplies. What a wicked king. He attacked them 606 B.C. and 597 and 586 B.C. and attacked them and brought out captives and attacked again. Destroyed the city and destroyed the temple. Daniel was one of those teenage boys brought out of the city. Oft times when they would capture a town, and Nebuchadnezzar was very cruel, we're not going to get into all the details, they would strip the captives naked. They would chain them and march them home in triumph, 600 miles marching in chains. It's very possible Daniel saw his pastor killed. It's possible he saw his parents butchered. The city's in smoke and ruins, and just some teenagers brought out now and several others. Never to see his homeland again. Never to see his parents again. Never to see the temple again. Brought into a wicked Babylonian culture. And for 3 years raised trying to be taught the language. They changed his name and changed his identity and tried to make him Babylonian. Yet, God said about Daniel, he had an excellent spirit. I don't know if I'd have had an excellent spirit. We won't go into detail on this. It would not be right. But it says the prince over the eunuchs was in charge of Daniel. What's that mean? Daniel ended up becoming a eunuch. Not only did they take his homeland away, they took away his possibility of having a wife. They took away the chance of having children one day. He was just for them. One person in the entire Bible does God say he had an excellent spirit. The queen says he has an excellent spirit. Flip back over there, please, if you will, to chapter 5. There we are. In chapter 5, when the queen says he has an excellent spirit, he'd been there 44 years. He's not a little teenager anymore. 44 years had passed. And she says he's got an excellent spirit. When God in chapter 6 says he's got an excellent spirit, it was 25 years past that. He'd been in Babylon 69 years and he still had an excellent spirit. Do you? I want to speak for a few moments on this. Obtaining and maintaining an excellent spirit. How do you keep that spirit? Someone said, when our spirit is open and right, it's like an open hand. Here's a husband spirit open, a wife spirit open. That's a wonderful marriage. Husband spirit open, wife spirit closed. That's kind of a tough marriage. Husband closed, wife closed. That's a hard marriage. Here it is. Pastor open, church members open. Wonderful spirit in the church. The more spirits open in a home, the better the spirit is. The more spirits open in church, the better the spirit is. How was your spirit when you came in tonight? Was it open? Closed. And that's why most of the time we have to sing 30 minutes to halfway get people's spirits open. Oftentimes I feel like on Sunday nights, we leave, we're open. Then by the time we come in on Monday, the next Sunday, we're like the mummy on some movie. Just kind of dragging that one leg. We're worn out. We're beat up. We plop down. The song director says, it's time to sing. And man, it just takes a while to open that spirit. Wouldn't it be great if we showed up like that and not just left like that? What are the secrets? I want to get them to you quickly. Number one, he yielded. He yielded. The word Daniel in some forms means God is my judge, or God is judge, God's judge. What's it mean? He said, Lord, you're the judge. You wanted Babylon to take over? I yield to it. I remember years ago, I came down with a disease. It was spinal meningitis, long story, had these headaches, high fever, went to the emergency room. And the doctor said, we believe you've got spinal meningitis. We need to do a spinal tap. You need to bend over this table. We're going to stick this long needle in your back spinal column, suck out some fluid and test it. I said, you're not sticking that needle in me. You're a real man. I protest. And I said, you're not doing that. I'm preaching tomorrow. It's Saturday night. And they said, no, we need to do this. I said, well, what if you don't do it? They said, if you do have it, we don't treat you, you'll die or you may end up crippled the rest of your life. I said, where do you want me to bend over? I yielded. Sometimes trials come. Sometimes difficulty comes. Sometimes God did not read our will for his life. Oftentimes we say, do God's will for your life. Sometimes he doesn't do our will for his life. Dear God, here's how you're supposed to do it. There you go. Sometimes he doesn't read it. His will and my will don't always agree. God says, yield. What are you bucking up against? God has sent some trial. God's allowed something to happen. And you say, that isn't the way it's supposed to be. Yield. Or you'll never have an excellent spirit. Number two, he stood. Daniel 1:8, very familiar passage. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. What's that mean? I believe with all my heart, Brother Smith, when Daniel was stripped naked perhaps, he's chained, he's making that 600-mile trek to Babylon, remembering the vivid screams of his parents, the burning of his city. He's purposing in his heart. He says, when I get to Babylon, I'm going to do right. He made those decisions in advance. And you'll find in Daniel chapter 1, they said, we want you to drink the king's wine and eat the king's food. He purposed in his heart. He said, I'm not going to do it. Then after that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, and we're not going to do it either. Excellent spirit spreads. In chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are supposed to bow to the image of the king. And they said, we're not going to do it. Where did they learn to stand? Daniel. He stood. He just stood for right. I got to visit the Alamo one time. I said, now, where did Colonel Travis draw the line? And my Uncle Jim Bowie was dragged across the line. Boy, I like that. Drag me across the line. There was a pastor. His car broke down. He was riding a city bus for about a week to get to the office. One day he slipped his money to the bus driver. The bus driver handed him his change. He sat back down. It was way too much change. He'd given him like a five, and the guy gave him $20-something back in his hand. A few moments later, he walked up to the front. He said, excuse me, Mr. Driver, you made a mistake. You gave me way too much change. Here's your change. The bus driver said, no, I didn't make a mistake. You're the pastor of such and such Baptist church, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. He said, I gave you too much money on purpose. I was going to see if you practice what you preached. He said, I'll be at your church Sunday. The man showed up at his church, true story, got saved, got baptized, whole family got saved. He stood for right. I moved to California, I'm getting car insurance. I'm real fast, got my driver's license, this, that, this, telephone, everything, one day. I'm at the driver's license place, insurance center. I need to switch insurance from Louisiana insurance, California insurance. They said, have you had any accidents in the last 12 months? I said, yes. I was taking a left-hand turn, the guy tried to pass me in a remote intersection and drove me up on the sidewalk. And they said, whose fault was it? I said, the police never said. And they said, and what was it again? I said, I was turning left. They said, did you have your turn signal on? I said, I think I did. And they said, well, think real hard, because if your turn signal was on, it was his fault. If your turn signal was not on, it was your fault. You pulled into him. And I said, I don't remember. And they said, you don't get it. Your insurance is going to be very high if it was your fault, very low if it was his fault. So, did you have the turn signal on, Pastor? And I said, I don't remember. They said, look, you're not getting this. Tell us you had the turn signal on and we'll give you the lower rate. Do you understand? I said, I understand. I don't remember. They said, we're giving you the lower rate anyway. God blesses right. He took a stand. He stood. Not only that, He looked to God for his answers. Notice in Daniel chapter 2, please, looking down into verse number 28. Daniel 2, verse number 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 30, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have any more than living. He's simply saying, he said, when I needed something, he said, I went to the Lord for my answers. Do you remember in school, how many people went to public school at least 1 year? Public school at least 1 year, all right? I remember seeing students cheat on tests. In fact, we had some teachers so ignorant, they would write the answers of the test on the blackboard. They'd be facing the class. All the answers are on the test. All right, put your books up. No one look. I'm watching y'all to see if you're cheating. They were all on the blackboard. Other students would put the answers under their desk and keep dropping their ink pen and looking at the answers. Some students would have the answers. Kids, are you taking notes or not? They would have the answers stuffed in the paper towel holders in the bathrooms. I got ink all over me. Can I go wash my hands? And pull those answers out. They had cheat sheets so they could find the answers because they couldn't remember everything. Guess what God has given us? A cheat sheet. He's given us all the answers right here so at any time in our life, we can look them up anytime we want to. Daniel said, I'm going to look to the Lord for my guidance, not astrology, not a palm reader, not just a friend. That's why he had excellent spirit. Not only that, number four, he served. He served. Chapter number 2, verse 30, he says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes. Why was he interpreting these dreams? For others. He was serving. Tell you who's had the best spirit all week long at this team conference. Those who've served.
Amen.
Those sweet ladies who've been making food after the services. Those sweet people, hopefully ladies, who's been watching the babies in the nursery. Those young people and adults who've been vacuuming after the services. Amen. Those who have decorated. Those who worked on choir specials. Those who worked on instruments. Those who worked on skits. The serving people are always the happy people.
Amen.
And that's why usually the gripers in a church or the gripers in a youth group are those who ain't doing anything. What a man in our church years ago. I'm not a bus mechanic. They pay me not to touch the buses. It's that bad. We had a bus engine that needed fixing. It was one Wednesday night. I said, all right, we have a bus. It needs fixing. I don't know how to do it. Can anyone help fix the bus? I'm looking, no hands went up with a man in a wheelchair, Jack Danke. Been an old Hell's Angel type guy, dove out of a tree when he was drunk into a river, snapped his neck, paralyzed from the neck down. Had his hands up like this, he would have an ink pen to scratch, he could scratch sometimes. His elbow went up. I said, thank you, Jack, God bless you. I thought he didn't hear me. You ever not hear what the pastor said? Have you ever maybe raised your hand at the wrong time? I've learned years ago, people don't listen, Brother Angel. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Usually on Sunday mornings, we'll be handshaking, and someone will say, how you doing, Pastor? I'll say, well, you know, I just got diagnosed with leukemia, but my AIDS are doing better. My heart transplant will be coming up pretty soon. Good. I've had a good week, too. People don't listen. So I figured it was one of those. You ever been not listening during an invitation? And the pastor says, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who's going to hell? And then you, oh man. Then you find the pastor afterwards. I didn't mean that. I'm really saved. You know, I just want. So I figured Jack Danke wasn't listening. I said, here's a guy, he don't have hands or feet. His legs have been amputated in a wheelchair. How's he going to fix a bus? I pull up that Saturday morning. Sure enough, that bus is out in the front parking lot. The hood is up. Jack Danke's in his wheelchair talking to the bus. Figured he's casting the demons out, anointing it with oil. I see two legs sticking out from under the hood. He said, Pastor, I told you I'd fix the bus. It's my son-in-law. He's got hands. I don't have hands. I got the brains. I'm telling him what to do. The bus will run in the morning.
Amen.
Serving people have an excellent spirit. What are you doing with the hands you have and the feet you have and the mind that you have? Everyone ought to be involved in some area of the local church. Not only that, but he remembered. I love this. Chapter 2, verse 49. He interprets the king's dream. The king promotes him, makes him very special in the kingdom. Chapter 2, verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. What did he do? He remembered those who helped him. Someone said we ought to spend a lifetime getting even with people. Not with those who've hurt us, but with those who've helped us. How can I not remember Brother and Mrs. Vorner that knocked on the door of our house and invited us for the first time to Brother Smith's church? How can I not forget Brother Smith's first Sunday and that heavy southern accent as he preached and I got saved the next day? How can I not forget my Sunday school teacher who said, I didn't see your name on the teen camp roll. Aren't you going to camp, Mike? I said, I don't need camp. He said, I wish you'd go. He talked me into going and my heart got right at camp. How can I not remember people who've helped me? I think maybe one of the greatest sins in fundamentalism is we get led to Christ by someone, helped by someone, babied along by someone, nurtured by someone, encouraged by someone, and we forget them. Amen. Had a lady at my daughter's wedding. Anyone ever have money left over after a wedding? Here's the key word in a wedding, $500. Excuse me, how much is a cake? $500. How much for food for the reception? Oh, it's $500. How much to rent those? $500. How much are the tuxes for my boys? Oh, that's $500. How much for the photographer? Oh, it's $500. How much for the videographer? Boy, that's a mouthful. $500. How much? I even paid myself $500 for doing the wedding. I'm walking out, my daughter's getting pictures taken, and this guy's kissing my daughter on the lips. Her husband. And I'm walking out, kind of mixed emotion, and this lady walks up to me and says, Pastor, I drove in from out of town. You know, I used to come to the church. You've helped us so much. And she shakes my hand, and I feel paper. I said, y'all don't give me anything. She slipped me $200. She said, I'll never forget what you've meant to our family. My son's on the mission field because of you. She slipped my wife $200. I'm marrying all the rest of our kids off this week. What was she doing? She was saying, I haven't forgotten what you meant to me. Young people, as you get older, and that Sunday school teacher who was old when you were in the teen group or when you were in Sunday school, don't forget them. Hey, the pastor, as he gets a little older, don't forget him. The person that led you out of Christ, don't forget him. That teen leader, don't forget him. He had an excellent spirit because he said, I know it's not all me. I had some help. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Hey, King, don't forget, promote them too. He remembered, not only that, he persevered. Notice down here, please, in chapter 6, verse 16. Chapter 6, verse 16. And this is many years has now passed. He's about to get thrown into the lion's den. The lions were not the problem. Getting thrown in was the problem. The guy's 80, 90, 100, 110 years of age. Just that one or two steps was dangerous for him. But we see in Daniel 6:16, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. Verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable, sad voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually. You may not have your name in lights. You may not have your picture plastered on some Christian magazine, but you can finish. Daniel, he's still at it. He persevered. Not only that, quickly here, chapter 6, verse 10. We're coming down for the landing. Chapter 6, verse 10. He prayed. You know the story? The law was he could not pray for so many days. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did before. How come he had an excellent spirit? He had a prayer life. A walk with God corrects our sour spirit. Had a roommate at Bible college. Excuse me, it wasn't a roommate. This one took baths, so it wasn't the one you were talking about. He heard voices. No, okay. Guy's name was Jeff Watson. Tall, thin fella. He's about your size, Brother Angel. I'll never forget him. Tall, red-headed guy from Pennsylvania. He was one of those guys, he had to have 7 ink pens in his top pocket. You know, in case one out. Have you ever seen someone like that? I mean, here's all colors, ink, pen, pencil. I mean, his pocket's bulging out. He's got a notepad bulging out. One day we said, Jeff, we're going to go to DQ, Dairy Queen. Would you like to come and get a milkshake just right after class? He said, well, what time will we be back? He said, you have to get to work right away? He said, no. He said, you have a date? He said, no. He said, but what time will we be back? I said, I don't know, 1:15, something like that. He said, you know exactly what time we'll be back? I said, are you on medication or what? What do you need to be back for? And he had these glasses. He had these solid glasses. He'd have them up here. And when he bent down to talk to me, his glasses would always come on the edge of his nose. So he was always just kind of pushing them up like that, just constantly. He had neck problems and that sort of thing. And I said, why do you need to be back? He said, okay, here's the deal. Every day, 1:15, I have an appointment with God. I never break it. I'm never late for it. If it means I can't go get a milkshake, I don't go get the milkshake. I'm not late. Hadn't seen him in many, 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 many years. I was in Texas several years back. I see a youth director pulling up in a bus. Guess who it is? Jeff Watson. Still serving the Lord. Still enthusiastic. Why? Excellent spirit. He had a prayer life. Do you? Not only that, but last, and we're done. Chapter number 10 of Daniel, please. How did he have an excellent spirit? Hold me back up and say this as well as you're finding it. Daniel chapter 10. You say, well, did Daniel's story end happily ever after, Pastor Ray? No, he never got to go home. His captivity never ended. He died in Babylon. It's not the story of Joseph where his brothers bowed down and he forgave them and pops got to come and got to see the grandkids grow up. It wasn't like that. Daniel died in that captivity. Still had an excellent spirit. Excellent spirit. Why did he have an excellent spirit? Last, he longed for the second coming of Christ. Amen. Daniel 10:14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. He just kept on his mind, Jesus is coming soon. I saw a lady in our church recently, heavy, heavy burdens, not going to get into it. And I said, did you hear? And she said, what, Pastor? I said, rumor has it. What? I said, Jesus is coming this week. He is. Said, in an hour that you think not. Did you think he was coming this week? No, I bet he is. She said, that would solve so much. I said, for me too. Right now, the buzzer is on overtime. We're not looking for that undertaker. We're looking for the upper taker. Amen. I was at a funeral the other day. I hate funerals. I've done 293. Walked in the funeral parlor, and they always say, good to see you, Pastor. And I'll say, it's not good to see you. And don't get your tape measure out. I always feel like they're looking at me, 5'5". That's probably about a $400 cast. They're not getting me, Lord willing. My wife already has a grave paid for in Maine. You know, one of those family plots? She said, it's spooky. I walked over there. My name's on a gravestone already. He longed for the second coming of Christ. You've heard the story. I probably won't get it exact. There was a couple missionaries coming back from the field for a time of refreshment. They had labored hard with little visible results. Both men were on the ship. As they're coming in, they're thinking, we got very few letters, very little correspondence. No one really cared. As they got close to the port, they saw a band. They saw a crowd of thousands of people. Big, huge cruise ship, hundreds of people on it, heading back toward the States. One of the missionaries poked his friend and said, they didn't forget us. Look, they're here to greet us. There's the band. There's the people. And they began waving, and the people were waving, and they were waving, and the people were waving. As they got a little closer, they could see the eyes of the people were not looking at them. They were looking to the upper deck. As they turned around, they didn't realize that the President of the United States was on that ship. The band and the greeting was for him, not for them. One of the missionaries bowed his head as tears came to his eyes. He said, I guess they're not here for us, huh? The missionary friend poked him very wisely and said, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. It's not going to be long. We're going to hear a trumpet sound. We're going to get a little bit lightheaded. We're going to leave the school behind. We're going to leave the bills behind, the cancer behind, the cemeteries behind, the tears, the grief, the temptations behind. And we're going to be out of here. We'll appear before Jesus Christ, and immediately we'll have on our head the crowns that we have earned for Him by His grace. We'll quickly bow and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory. And hopefully we'll each have some crowns to cast at His feet and say, You wear them! We crown you with many crowns. It just won't be long. We're out of here. Can you imagine if somehow we could get a telegram, Brother Smith, from heaven, and they said, tomorrow afternoon, he's coming back. I don't think I'd sleep all night long. Does my hair look good? I can't wait to see his face, the one that died for me, and see the nail print hands. It'd kind of shrink our problems, wouldn't it? He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Second coming comforts us. It purifies us. Why? We don't want to be caught doing something wrong. It won't be long. Heavenly Father, would you bless now the few thoughts we've given tonight? Few people in the Bible, very